Welcome to episode 4 of the Club 937 podcast. I'm Jay, the producer, and this week we're joined by Dastard Crane, a hip-hop artist and longtime friend of Dan and Tez, who came out to talk about music, reminisce about high school, and give us a glimpse into the world of DIY hip-hop. So grab a beer, sit back, and let's jump into the conversation.
We here again, one more time. We are back.
Episode 4, Tez.
Yeah.
We did it, man.
We doing it.
Damn, I thought I had 3, yo. 4.
No, we doing it. But you the first outside. You ain't in the band, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah. Well, we got a special guest.
Here.
Yeah, you talking. Go ahead and tell him who you are, bro.
Blast from the past, dude. Yeah, he's here,
yeah.
Man.
Springbrook alum.
Legend, you know what I mean? Bro.
Yeah. Legend. Neighborhood alum.
We got our boy here. We all call him Bakari or Buck or Buck Cherry or whatever. I guess we feel like calling him because we go way back. But he's here from a musician's point. So we want to introduce
Dastard Crane.
Yeah, Dastard Crane, man.
Oh, that was the wrong
My bad.
That was the wrong one. What's up, man?
That was the right one.
Andrew with the joke joint. What's going on, man? Good to have you here, man. I'm glad you came with us.
I'm glad to be here.
Man, it's good to see you, bro.
Hey, good to see you too, man. It's been a while.
Yeah, man.
Dude, Bakari, you look great. I'm serious. To do, you know, like you look like you did back when we were growing up, man, in the neighborhood. Yeah, age has treated you very, very well.
Yeah, some of us.
Me and Tez, we got some grays, some stripes, some spikes growing, you know.
War wounds.
It's all good. Soon as I found out Tanya was pregnant, I started graying. Like it was immediate.
I'm waiting for more grays to sprout, man. My gray count is awful low, but I'm stressed out like all the time. So it's not stress,
man. It's just age, bro.
It's experience.
Something.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying?
No, he doesn't. Yeah. Bakari doesn't know. What do you mean? How does Bakari know? No, I don't see.
That was called empathy.
I tried dyeing it. It didn't take well.
The black didn't take well.
It looked like Sharpie.
You should go, if you're gonna dye your hair, Tez, go like green.
Nah, bro.
Strawberry.
Nah. I'm just not gonna do it.
George Clinton, P-Funk All Stars, man. Like Bootsy Collins, man. Whatever. I'll work on you.
I'm good. I'm solid. Everybody know the gray. I'm good. All right.
Word. So, own that shit.
Yeah, hell yeah. Yeah, I'm proud. I'm a proud gray 40-year-old, man. Yeah, yeah.
That's what it is.
I done been through some shit. You know what I'm talking about?
That's right.
Yeah, man. So this week, our beer's coming from Wauridaka. Where they at?
Hey, Wauridaka. For those of y'all that know the area, that is the old horse farm. Like if you take, like up there in Sunshine, Maryland.
108.
Laytonville.
Like, yeah.
Somewhere around.
Yes, to both. Yeah. Like behind. It's like, all right, so say you take Georgia Avenue all the way to New Hampshire Avenue. You know the old burger joint that used to be a gas station out there? It's like legendary burgers. Sunshine Burger. Anyways, you turn left there, you come up to this old horse farm. And it's been around for a long time. A brewery went into it maybe 4 or 5 years ago, maybe more than that. I don't know the owners and all them, but it's a beautiful, beautiful setup.
It is.
Horses walking around. You've been out there, right?
Yeah, I've been there.
Yeah. It's one of the only breweries I know you can go to and you'll see more kids and dogs than adults.
Yeah,
you know what I mean? Like it's like very family oriented, really cool spot. You never been out there? Go check it out. It's a nice spot.
It's a nice spot. Everybody was cool when I went. I went for my 40th. My wife took me on a little picnic, packed up some meats and cheeses, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
I get down with the cheeses, bro.
Yeah, they don't have food there. I think they usually they do trucks.
They got trucks,
the truck vibe. Food truck vibe.
But the vibe was cool, man. You know what I'm saying? The horses and the wait staff was on it. They were on top of the job, man. They were good kids.
You know, man, it was one of the first places I went after COVID started. Like, nobody went out for a really long time. And then one day we wanted to go out when the weather was good, like in the springtime. And it was one of the first places I went to that had the QR code with their menu on the picnic bench. Like, you go sit outside of the picnic bench, so you're fully outdoors, whip your phone out, and pew on the QR code, and then bam, their menu's there.
Yeah,
someone comes out there, and just takes your order. Like, very, very easy to deal with. No problems. I wasn't able to go out there today to pick up this beer because I was running late. So I went to a local beer store that's also kind of famous in Olney in Georgia and 108 on the corner. It used to be the 612 convenience store and beer store. And now it's called Brewbelly. It's got the big, Bigfoot creature sitting above the building. And it's like, it's just like, they do like pub food and it's like all just micro brews, weird brews. The guys there were really cool while I was picking up. They started following the podcast. So quick shout out to Brewbelly for following the podcast on the beer I bought today.
Yeah, and drinks on y'all next time we out there.
Yeah,
you know, for sure. That's how we're doing it, man.
So let's pop them.
All right. Wait. What you got? I got the premium extra pale lager. Okay.
Yeah, I got a watch me nay nay. About to whip this motherfucker out.
I'm holding the Winslow Hazy Pale Ale with a big horse on it. Yeah. All right, ready for the pop?
Yeah, let's do the pop.
Let's do it.
All right, go. Seven. That was decent.
Seven out of what?
10.
Seven out of 14.
Each pop is out of 10.
I'm more of a 7 out of 14 guy.
Okay.
I'm going
awkward
out of 10.
Numbers. We're going awkward numbers. All right. Okay.
All right.
I like it. It's tasty. Mmm.
Uh-oh. What do you feel, Tess? Go ahead.
The finish is real like OE, kind of. Like real 40 ounce.
OE?
The finish. Yeah.
I mean, I did get the taste of it going from like an ale to more of a darker lager. You know, like, or I don't know.
Did you nay-nay?
That's probably what the problem was. You didn't.
Did you nay-nay?
You know what I'm saying?
Does it make you want to nay-nay?
I had to drink a bunch of them.
Yeah, your name ain't for sure after three of these.
Man, this hazy is pretty good. It tastes like a hazy IPA, but honestly, man, I got to pour it in the glass because a hazy is all about how hazy it is, right? So I'm going to go in the glass.
This even has that Miller Lite. I don't know why I compare everything to Miller Lite. I guess because
child of 90s,
when we was
bro.
Getting when we was getting toe 90s. Up, boy, it was Miller Lite, Coors Light.
This looks like Natty
Bush,
Ice.
Bush Ice.
This looks just like Natty Bo.
We was getting twisted off of garbage back then.
Yeah.
Still drink whatever when that's time. Pour it up.
All right. I like the haze. It's not
a good color.
It's not a terrifying haze. Some hazes are like so cloudy that you can't even like see any shadows through them. But this one looks pretty good.
It's got a nice rich color to it.
Yeah. You know? Good looking beer.
Yeah, that looks good. This lager's not bad, man. It definitely, it just has that lager finish. It has a very, like, common lager finish.
Yours is an extra pale lager, huh?
Yeah.
Is that it? That premium one right there?
Yeah. Yep.
Interesting. I want to try that one next.
Yeah. Oh, premium.
Yeah. Oh, premium.
Oh, premium over
it's
here.
It's got the lucky horseshoe on it. I do like the horse theme, how every can has pretty nice artwork, man. Like, mine has a portrait. Tez's has a cartooned out horseshoe. And Buck's can is crazy.
Yeah, mine looks like
amazing.
He took a couple taps and he's at a rave or something.
Yeah, they killed it with the name. That's marketing genius right there with the name, bro. Yeah. They when I went there over the summer, man, they had a shandy, what I think it was a wheat Hefeweizen, and they made their own lemonade. It was bad.
Yeah.
I don't really do, you know, I don't do the fruit. I don't do all that, but the lemonade was on point.
I know, like, I've been there a bunch of times. Usually I go in there in the summer when the weather's nice, and I know I like their sours. Their sours are, they'll bite you. Doing a hot day, good sour beer, that's the spot right there.
Yeah. All right, Buck, man, let's get into your music, man. What you been doing, bro? Like, what you got going on?
I don't know. A whole lot, but it's been a slow process to begin with just because, you know, basically one-man team, so I got to do everything.
Everything.
So, you know, it's like, it takes a while.
So you're doing your own beat? You make everything yourself in your own house?
No, I'm purchasing beats from, you know, somebody really good at what they do. And generally, from there, I do everything else, all the mixing and the mastering, and which is, you know, I didn't grow up doing that. You know, it's always writing, you know, always, rapping, played in bands, things like that. But when it came to producing, it was a whole new thing that I had to learn how to do. And it's a learning process, getting better and better the more I work at it.
Yeah, for sure. For sure.
So the whole set, like, you got like a basement setup. You got a laptop, couple plugins, and just that's it.
Yeah.
Go for it, huh?
Yeah. Soundproof my closet.
Yeah.
Old school hip hop. Yeah. I feel you.
So you're making some songs, right? So when you put them out, what's your avenue? Like, you going for like SoundCloud, or you go for like you know, iTunes and stuff? Or
I started my own record company, so that was a lot of, you know, paperwork and things like that, and my lawyer helping me get through the process and doing doing all that stuff.
And your own label.
My own label. Wow. And because I didn't want to, you know, have to.
That masters and all that. Yeah, exactly.
So you want to keep all of that. So that was the business side of it. And so you got to do all of that. And then you got to do the music part. And, and then it's like putting it all together. And so, yeah. It's been a process. But we getting there.
You making through it. You got how many songs you got out now?
Now I got three. Also, my daughter, she got like four songs out right now.
She's performing, so we're working
on her mixtape right now. She'll be coming out pretty soon.
How old is she?
She's 10. She dropped her first song at 7, so you know.
I gotta check her out,
She got a new track dropping in the next week.
I didn't know. She got it
on YouTube, right?
Oh, yeah, she on everything. Apple, iTunes, Spotify, YouTube.
That's
music.
What's up, bro.
That's so cool. iHeartRadio.
You know, anything you can you get your music on, you can find her.
So yeah,
you gotta drop all that.
Did you collaborate with her yet? Like, have y'all put on a daddy-daughter track?
Hey, we got something in the works right now. It's been recorded. We dropped the tracks. It's just, you know, it's gonna come out, me and my dad. It's gonna be on her.
It's gonna be on her mixtape.
So it's featuring you. You're the feature artist.
I'm the
feature. Dang. Dang.
Yeah, she's sunny, yo. It's all good. Yeah, it's all.
And you get no pay for that. You gotta do it. You gotta do it.
Man, you gotta do it for free.
You gotta do it.
Dude, you gotta do it for free, and you gotta love doing it for free too.
Oh yeah, that's awesome.
So cool. Yeah.
Cheers to you, bro. That's awesome, man. That's awesome, man.
Yeah, for sure.
All right. It's clear that you listen to hip hop. Well, let's go non-hip hop favorites.
Okay.
Let's go top five.
Top five.
Yeah.
Go ahead, Ricardo. You're live. Top five.
Top five. Non-hip hop.
I mean,
everybody's going to hate me for this, but I got to go with what brought me in to rock and roll. First concert I went to, fucking craziest concert ever. And I've never seen so much control. I got to give it to my man, Fred Durst. Limp Bizkit, yo, his fucking concert was just
I had a feeling.
DJ Lethal.
I've never seen anything like it. Yeah, it was like, fuck it. I was like, dude, I'm in love. Yeah, this shit is fucking crazy. Yeah.
It was, honestly, man. It was a theme to that time in our life, man. Limp Bizkit was a theme at that point in our life, man.
Man, look, that's an awesome answer, man.
Yeah.
That's one of your top five, man.
Dude, rep that, dude.
We're at HF Festival, right?
Okay. Everybody's just chilling. He's like, all right. He's like, everybody, look to your left. You know, look to your right. Got a lady next to you. He was like, all right, now put them on your shoulders. Put them on your shoulders. So, you know, as you start looking around, it's like girls on shoulders. Everywhere you look around, right? And then he was like, all right. It's like, now I want to see some titties. And I swear to God, 10,000 women took their fucking tops off. I was like, yeah, what is going on? This shit is fucking crazy.
Dude, that is such an HF Festival moment right there, bro. I've never seen anything like it.
Yeah, I was like, yeah.
I remember when Limp Bizkit played. I remember that festival.
Yeah, dude, we were all there. Yeah, we were in one wing or another. We were all there, you know, in one rave tent or another. We was doing it.
I'd never seen anything like it. Yeah.
All right, that's number one. What's number two?
Well, I mean, I love me some System of a Down. I mean,
Good answer.
Terrible with this answer too, but you know, Third Eye Blind. I mean, they're just that first whole album.
Listen, the music and how they put it on that softer side. What was that album? Was that the one with the suicide joint? The Wish You Would Step Back From That Ledge, my friend.
Yeah. Right. First six songs, yeah, like right. Nonstop. Yeah,
I would understand.
Yeah, it's terrible. Yeah, but then we'll have to go with The Used. I mean, I love me some fucking Used.
Where's Jay? He's the one missed out. He's a huge Used fan, man.
That's for you. One more. I'm thinking if you're gonna say who I think you're gonna say.
I don't know. I mean, it's so hard, you know. I got so many. But I'll just go with a story. One time, when I was playing in a new band there, you know, we were doing pretty good. We're getting pretty huge. We played in these couple of these contests. We won this thing for HF Festival, won this thing for DC 101. And then one of the things for HF Festival was like they put your name in the running, and then you got to compete to try to be on HF Festival.
Battle of the Bands.
We ended up coming in second place, so we didn't make it, right? But we came in second. It was pretty good. We were happy.
Pretty cool.
They played us on it, you know. It was a lot for for me at the time. But anyways, that show, that was the first year. I think it was might have been the last year HF Festival was having their thing. But they, that year they had a spring concert and then they had a fall one.
Yeah, I remember that.
So in the spring, we would have been playing on the side stage, you know, not the main stage, but on the side stage that year where we would have been playing, Linkin Park played.
That's who I thought. That's who I was thinking he was gonna go there.
You're going there.
Yeah. You think, man, the whole new band era thing, like Linkin Park had to be in there, bro.
Yeah, had to be in there, man. Dude, that first Linkin Park record is amazing. Still now, even now, you listen to it now.
I still listen to it. Nasty.
Yeah. Nothing hit like the first one. I'm not gonna lie to you.
The first one is always the one that you're really trying. Not just you're really trying, but you're hungry. You're not as hungry as your first record.
Yeah, first record. If you give it everything.
If you make it to a second record, then you're like, all right, we made it to a second record. You know, like, so you got a little bit of confidence. You know, that's when you try to show off on your second record. But your first one,
bro, they made the Transformers. All right, so. Once you make Transformers, you're good. You're solid.
They played the side stage that in the spring.
They were coming out.
They headlined in fucking fall.
Yeah.
Headlined.
Dude,
so on the main
fast.
Stage, they were the ending. Like, I mean, how do you blow up like that?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a matter of a few months.
In one year.
If we're talking a few months, spring to fall, you go from side stage to headlining. Like, I mean, and that show was still crazy, like, you know, there's a whole lot of people played there too.
Their climb was quick, wasn't it?
It was crazy.
Like, wasn't it like they put their first demo or something out and 9 months later,
they were everywhere.
I think it is,
and it's like this with most music scenes, is you'll have your trailblazers, like, for that scene, like the HF Festival days that we're talking about, you had, you know, Limp Bizkit, Korn, you know, Deftones, and maybe even go back to like Beastie Boys and like other guys that kind of incorporated that rap and that hard rock mix, you know?
Papa Roach.
Yeah. But then Linkin Park came around after that. I wouldn't call them trailblazer, but they came on after that wave and they were just so goddamn good. Like, they were just talented, man. Like, they were just really good at what they did. So if you got talent and that's what's hot right now, then that's what happens.
Yeah. I mean, all the respect to them. Like, they definitely, you know, did their due diligence, man. Yeah. They put their work in.
Yeah.
But I mean, like, they are an overnight story.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, they blew up quick.
Buck, how often do you, for sure. But how often do you think about New Bandera and the old rock days?
Boy,
man.
Them days, right?
Mm. Man, I miss it.
Yeah,
it's crazy.
Yeah. I haven't talked to him in a while, man, but I used to talk to Zach quite a bit.
Okay.
Yeah, we stayed tight. I worked on his car for a really, really long time, a bunch of years. And he's mad. That dude, from last I heard of him, he's just as wild as you think. Man, ain't nothing stopping that dude from just being out there.
Wow.
You
know? I thought he was, isn't he like a teacher and Buddhist
He was my little sister's teacher at Springbrook.
She was like a
10-year-old bass player. I was like, what? Yeah, this is crazy.
He went back to Springbrook for a while. But he was at Springbrook and then he went online. And I think it's the company's Blackboard.
Okay.
He was one of the founders or one of the first. I don't know. He was really early on in Blackboard days in like virtual learning. And I remember talking to him like, who the hell is going to need virtual learning when kids are going to school?
In your face, Zach.
Good call on that one, you know. But I haven't talked to him in a while. I know he's got some. I think he has at least one kid. And last I heard from him, he's doing really, really good. I haven't seen Mike in forever.
I haven't seen either one in at least a decade.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah.
Mike?
It's been a while. I haven't seen your class.
Where is he?
I don't know.
I don't know. I think he was in Western Maryland for a little bit, but I don't know.
The last I heard of that dude was when he was living with Eddie Donovan over there in College Park. And that was at least 20 years. Had to have been. Yeah. Wow. Okay. All right. Now that's top five, nine. Obviously, now you got to give us the five hip hop. Rap.
Top five hip hop. This is the hardest thing though.
Top five MCs. That's one of the hardest questions to ask, man. Yeah.
Wait. Let me ask you this. Is there a difference between hip hop and rap?
I don't know. It's tough. Yes. it's all the same. I mean, if you hear it, I like rap or I like hip hop. I mean, usually when you hear hip hop, it will have more of a meaning, more words, more of a message to it, or more, you know, wordplay, things like that. And when you hear rap, if you're asking me to distinguish it, you know, then I would, you know, I think more radio things, that type of play. But I don't know. Like, generally, they just go hand in hand, and, you know, I don't really think twice about it.
Okay.
It's only when you're talking hip-hop heads, and they're like, you know, like, oh, then, you know. You know what they talking about, so then you got to come with what they talking about. So.
Yeah. All right, cool. So top five, man. So who are they?
So, Eminem, number one. So I'm saying that's
cool. Cool.
I love stories, and I love
he can tell a fucking dope story.
Nobody can touch Eminem. Ever.
And you still getting metaphors while he telling stories. Yeah, you still getting metaphors. You got to keep up. Mm-hmm. You got to keep up.
Yeah, dude.
So cool. so I got that's got to be on number one. Then I'm also old school, and I mean, Tupac's my man, so I got to go with Pac. It was the feeling that he gave when he rapped. You know, he was you were just in there with him, and he just made you feel like that. And the moment that he was talking about, you were right there next to him and going through it with him. And I just like where he put me when I would listen to him.
Pac was very interesting because, just like you guys were talking about the difference between hip hop and rap, I think Tupac was able to really be both. Like, he could be that party, that radio hit, that like filthy, nasty, whatever you want out of him. But then he was also like a poet, you know, like he had books of poetry and like all of this knowledge and all of this wisdom and all this, like, you know, he was also very, very deep, and he was in the same thing. Maybe that's why he was so I burned so bright so fast, you know, like maybe one person can't hold all that, but I don't know. But Pac was, he was the best of both worlds.
He was good at the art, man. Yeah. It was the everything else that destroyed him, man. Yeah. It wasn't the music. I mean, he was still in his prime when he left us. Yeah. So it wasn't the music that destroyed him, man.
Nah, it was, that anger inside.
Yeah, man.
That emotion.
Yeah, Livewire.
Everything else.
Couldn't control that emotion that he was feeling inside. And, you know, and then...
9 times out of 10, when artists leave us early, man, it's never about the music.
Nah.
Well, I think the music has a way of...
fueling things.
Fueling it. It's kind of destroyed. Story, you know what I mean? Like, but it's everyone's story, you know. Yeah, hopefully you're still living to tell your story, but if you cease to live, I think your story is told through your music. Like, if you look back at artists that have passed away and you listen back to their music after they died, you're like, oh my god,
they were giving us signs.
We were paying attention, we were
taking for granted because we were just on the beat. They gone. Yeah. 10 months later, you're like, oh,
that's what they meant.
Right.
I wish I would have listened more.
You know what I'm saying?
All right, so number three, Bukari. Number three, hip-hop.
Oh, yeah, for rock, special mention to Sublime. I mean, moving back. We're going to move on.
You can't drop that off. You know what I'm saying? We can't move right past that.
That's my jam, Sublime, bro.
It was a final moment. I had to. It was that moment. That was that moment right there, man.
Anyway. Long Beach. All right.
Go ahead. You said Eminem, Pac.
Yeah.
Okay.
I know I'm going to piss a lot of people off.
Good.
But I mean, I got to mention Drake just because he just drops a bunch of fucking hits, yo. And that's my man. And I fucking love, you know, he's just got so many fucking songs that I'll be just damn it to. I mean, I'm just going to, you know, whatever. I know. You hate me. Fuck y'all. You know, whatever.
High yellow or one, bro.
Hey. I like Drake's first record.
Baze is winning. Baze is winning, bro.
Nah, man, dude, Drake has
light skin coming hard, yo.
If you want to put on hip hop with your girl and you're chilling, you put on some fucking Drake or some shit, you know what I'm saying?
I might put on some D'Angelo, personally. That's just me.
Listen,
you know? That's just me, bro.
That's R&B, you know what I'm saying?
The Drake Chris Brown joint, the joint is fire. I forgot the name of it. It's Drake and Chris Brown's, the latest joint.
Anyone that can get Kanye nervous dropping a record should have power in this business, man. And the reason why Kanye freaks out.
Wait. You really thought Kanye was nervous?
Dude.
Any dude who will put hot sauce in his condom so a girl won't fucking put that shit in her vagina, I mean, he would make anybody nervous. You don't want him around your girl, yo. You do not want that man around your girl, dude. Like, oh,
dude.
No.
Dude.
No.
You know, dude, y'all have to know that Kanye put out Donda to spite Drake. You know that, right? Like, he had Donda done months before Drake was done. He just waited.
But he kept changing shit on it.
Why do you think that was?
Because he put, I mean, he
it
put.
Because Drake had a record, dude.
He had Soulja Boy cut a verse, took Soulja Boy off the joint.
Yeah. He had Marilyn Manson on it. He had, you know, Soulja whatever.
Boy's my man, too.
Whoever was on it, you know.
Who?
Soulja Boy's my man, yeah. I mean, his lyrics are terrible, and that's probably why he was like, we don't want you on the fucking album. Hey, but Soulja Boy is my man. He make jams, yo. I love him.
Yeah. He's a rapper, dude.
He's a rapper.
He's not a hip-hop
artist.
He's a rapper.
He ain't gonna fake it.
He
was like 16.
Still make you want a yule.
Yeah, yule.
Yeah, dude.
I'll be calling Balance like, what are you doing?
Still trying to Superman a hoe. You know what I'm saying?
Soulja Boy, tell him. The dance flow silly.
He was good though, dude. I like Soulja Boy too.
He got some rockers. Yeah. He got some rockers. Yeah, I ain't gonna fake. He got some rockers.
But wait, is that top five or no?
No.
He
gets no mention.
No, he put it up.
Not even honorably.
Did you even mention Soulja Boy? That came up in conversation.
Yeah, that just came up.
So, yeah, still my man. Soulja on the list.
Still my man.
Let me ask one. What about Kendrick?
I love Kendrick. I love what he does.
Does he make the list?
Nah, I would put Game over Kendrick. I mean, just because.
Game over Kendrick?
Because that's just what I like. You know what I'm saying? No, I'm
Compton, dude.
Okay.
Game is Compton.
I'd rather hear some game shit. I mean, that's just me. You know, I mean, lyrically, Kendrick is better, but what I'd rather listen to.
What about YG?
Nah.
Hold on.
Tez does not understand.
The game, but not YG.
Nah, I'm going to Game. Absolutely.
Over YG?
Absolutely.
In the dark?
Okay, and now I'm going number four.
Now I'm going number four,
50 Cent, you know, because that's my motherfucking.
Oh, yeah.
We're going to bring 50.
I can see that, dude. Yeah,
that's my man.
I can see that. Yeah. All right, cool. So that's three. That's four. You got one more. Got one more, bro. It's a pretty good lineup. You got Eminem.
I'm still stuck on the Game YG,
dude,
bro.
Each top five, man.
For sure. That's your list.
Hey, the Game. I mean, just think of the documentary. It was a banger album. Just crazy.
You know, it's funny, man. When Kendrick Lamar came out, or like when we first hearing him on the radio and stuff, I remember, I think, actually, Tez, you might have got me into him when he came out with, like, Good Kid, Mad City a couple records ago.
I was cranking that joint.
You were cranking it.
Yeah,
and I was like, man, this guy's Compton? Like, he does not sound Compton to me. Come to find out, he's from, like,
the outskirts.
Ohio or something.
He's
from somewhere else, and they moved to Compton when he was younger, so he has...
You are where you stay, so...
Yeah.
You know,
getting later on, like if you listen to his to Damn is very Compton. Like that's a West Coast record right there.
Even
you know
what was it? What was the second one? To Pimp a Butterfly.
No, the Butterfly was like jazz fusion funk. Like that record.
We gonna be all right, joint.
But it's not West Coast. Like when people think West Coast, you're thinking of like Compton is like. You know, like the old Dre beats and the slow vibe and the hard bass lines and like, you know, like that Compton style is crazy. Yeah, but Bakari, you got one more MC, man. You need one more for your top five.
We can't do a top five hip hop, for me at least, without mentioning Wayne. We got to give it up to Weezy.
Yeah, okay. All right. That's a smooth number one.
That's a good number one.
Yeah.
That dude flawless, bro.
He put out so many motherfucking hits. I mean, nonstop. Like, nonstop.
You're getting a mixtape every week.
I mean, yeah, it was crazy.
Wayne and his prime, that was a mixtape every week.
It was some wild shit.
Yeah. Your jaw stayed on the floor.
Dude, Weezy was like my conscience for like a year. You know, like everything he came out, I was like, oh my God, that's exactly what I think and exactly how I feel. You know, like,
radio,
I was like totally into it.
Radio could not touch that man's catalog. They couldn't touch his catalog. catalog, the safe shit that he was putting out wasn't even giving you majority of what that dude was doing.
Yeah, well, but he, man, but yeah, I will say that I think, like, not that your fame catches up to you or nothing, but I think he got paid, he got happy. What he puts out now, man, I don't really care.
Weezy got high. That's what.
Yeah.
Or everything.
Come on, man.
Everything.
Weezy got fucked up.
He had that styrofoam cup for a very long time. Yeah. You know,
yeah, hey, he was double cup. Hey, he's still double cup. If I'm not mistaken. But
that man hit us with the mystical. He said, "I really be smoking on my smoking songs."
I mean, I see
when you hear that lighter go off, yeah, bro. Hey, yeah, you know, Wayne really lighting one up.
I got it right here. Ready for it? Ready for the new Weezy song? Ready? Ready? Shh. You ready, boy? Yeah, y'all hear it?
Oh my God. We're so good, dude.
Remember when Pac and Bone had that joint and it had the guns in it? Like, that was like part of the song.
Yeah, man.
He got to put one out where the fucking lighter's part of that motherfucking beat. You know what I'm saying? He's got to do it. Hey, Weezy, let me hear that track. Yeah, come on, do it.
Wayne Fire.
I'm trying to do it a lighter. Kind of hurt.
I dug a lot more mixtape Wayne than I did album Wayne.
Yeah, because he had to come with a different persona. It was way raw. I mean, the same persona, but you know what I'm saying? Like, it was to a different standard.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. And, but he cut loose. He was loose. That boy was going in when he doing mixtapes.
Mixtapes, yeah. He was. I like him better on mixtapes.
Well, yeah.
I mean, I can't discount the Carters. You know what I'm saying? I mean,
mixtape.
I love that. Yeah. I love.
Well, look, if you look back at it, so, like I think Lil Wayne is a mixtape rapper by trade. As far like that'd be like saying Eminem is a battle rapper. Like, that's what he came up doing.
That's how he started.
That's how he blew up.
Right.
So I think you always have, that's why no one can touch Eminem. Like, anyone who tries to battle Eminem, you're going to lose because he actually is a battle rapper. Yeah, like, he's a well-oiled machine of a battle rapper, so you can't really beat him.
You don't want no parts of that.
Yeah, yeah, but, you know.
I'll battle him, though. Hey, who you at, M? Yeah, what's up?
You follow battle rap?
I mean.
The URL and all that?
Nah.
No?
I gotta check it out.
That's a whole nother joint we gotta get into, bro.
Oh, okay.
That's a whole nother. Watch a couple joints, URL, watch a couple.
Man,
bro.
That's what I grew up doing. That's all we did. Every morning.
Banging on the posts in the hallway at Springbrook. Remember that, dude?
Yeah, every morning. The ciphers, dude.
Oh my God, that was so cool. That was so much fun, man.
That's how I learned, you know. That's how.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love it. I respect it. You know, it's hard. People think it's easy. That shit is not easy.
I mean, writing hip hop alone.
I don't write
lyrics, so I can only imagine that it's got to be difficult, especially when you can't rhyme one word with the same word.
Hold on, you know what I'm saying? Tez, I have seen you body some dudes battle rapping them, dude. Like, I have seen you body a couple people, man. I can't battle rap for nothing.
I was in the right element. You know what I'm saying?
Nice.
Couple J's in, couple beers in. You know what I mean? I was feeling nice. You know what I mean? But
I
just gotta be stressing writing, man. It's gotta be. Off of just coming off the top with it, but then you gotta actually like look at it, and the one bar is never gonna fit that second bar how you like you want it. You know what I'm saying?
The craziest thing is like the writing part was all that's the easiest shit for
is
me.
It?
That's what it. I mean, that was the easiest thing. I could write. So I write songs in a day, like boom, and that, I mean, full of wordplay. Thoughtful. You know, hard, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I would, encapsulate, what I'm trying to show in the song.
What
I want you to feel.
Hey,
writing was always the easiest part for me. It was that producing, and that's the struggle.
That's your tough.
Yeah, that's the struggle. That's what.
Okay.
Well, it's hard. Being a one man show is not easy. You know, to have.
Oh, yeah.
And also, it can starve the craft a little bit. As far as like, I remember being in bands for years and getting too wrapped up in the business side. Like, okay, we need to do 4 shows this month, and we need to, sell this many tickets and make this much money, and just like being a little bit over consumed with the business side of it. And I get mad at myself about, I'm supposed to play guitar at some point this month. You know what I mean? Like that is actually why what I'm here to do. Like that's why I do this is to play. So why do I got to worry about all these copyrights and Pro Tools whatever you're going through, man.
Yeah, it's crazy. you know.
But, I mean, you can't exactly, I mean, unless you got a whole bunch of money, you can't go out and just find some hotshot producer to do it all for you. But, you know, that's not it. Yeah.
We bootstrapping this month.
Yeah, for sure.
We get a better feel that way anyway, man.
Yeah, I mean, you learn everything. Yep. And, yep. It takes a little longer, but hey, the process, I mean, got to appreciate it.
Yeah.
Struggle through it and, you know. But, yeah, no, I love the writing. I mean, I write because I love to write. I love it. I mean, you know, when somebody pisses you off, I'm like, oh, shit, I got something for you.
Well, wait, all right. Now, that's interesting, though. So is it therapy? Yeah, so is writing therapy?
Absolutely. You know, like, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes, you know, you can't say what you're going to say, but you can write it, you know, and then you can say it in front of a whole bunch of people. And you're like, oh,
yeah.
But, yeah, no, it is therapy. It, you know, allows you to get some things off your chest, or maybe it allows you know, to feel things that, you know, you might have felt.
It opens up something else for you in the feelings, yeah.
I think the difference between an MC, man, I guess, a hip-hop artist and a rapper, or like y'all talking about battle rapping, right? I think battle rap is all about wit, how fast you can come up with something and how hard you can hit him in this short amount of time and how you make it sound right, you know? Wit.
Well, now the battle rap now is in, they write.
Yeah.
They write.
That's cheating.
Yeah, yeah, kind of. It's kind of cheating, man.
It's cheating. Yeah. No, it's cheating. It's like, yo, I could easily write a fucking verse for somebody the night before and then memorize that shit and then come and then spit that shit off the top of my head. Yeah, and I'm like, I'm freestyling.
That's what they doing.
That's what they are doing.
They get teams. It's
terrible.
They write in teams.
Well, it's terrible. Whether you want to write it or not is no matter to me. I think what I'm trying to say here is I think the battle rapping is an armor, something you can wear on top of your skin to make you the biggest, baddest thing that's ever been, right? Because you want to win the battle. I think writing and releasing your own songs, I think that's letting go of the armor and actually letting people into your worries and your thoughts, your anger, your whatever, you know, whatever it is, or you know. So that might tie in a little bit with the whole hip hop versus rap thing, as far as like maybe the message is a deeper kind of thing, but bars are bars and both are needed, you know, like both are very, very needed in today's
society. At some point, you gotta be a writer. I mean, even if you're the best spitter, you gotta be a writer. You can't, like, there are just some, I guarantee you, there's some artists out there that come up with these bars that they have nothing to go with that at that moment, but that one bar was fire.
Mm.
Jot this shit down.
I'll never forget Christina Aguilera being the genie in the bottle. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit, I gotta rub you the right way, motherfucker.
Yeah. Right,
you
know, right, like, right.
You know, hey, that was
a great
joke,
line.
You know,
a great line.
You know what I'm saying? Like,
20 years later,
yeah,
still,
they're written, but.
I mean, I'm just saying, like, lines.
They're saved. Put in the Ziploc. They're saved.
Certain things the lines, the bars, they stick in your head. It's
you can recall,
and it's like, boom, all right, bring you back. But I love the lines, the bars, the wordplay. That's my favorite part.
That's what I look for, man. You got, man, your metaphor's got to be, you got to make me think. Oh, that's what he was talking about. I get it.
Well, yeah, I mean,
my man was talking about dryer sheets.
It's fun, man. Dude, it's fun, man. Like, it's fun. Like, I think one of my favorite metaphor rappers is Ludacris. Ludacris will drop 3 metaphors in one bar. You know, like, he'll just go deeper and deeper, and you're just like, damn, you know? I don't really know what he's talking about most of the time. Like, I don't really follow the story. I'm just following these metaphors, and I was like, oh, here's he's going to throw something about horses, and here he's going to do something about, you know, microphones.
I love Luda.
He was great with that, you know? Whereas, like, if Kendrick Lamar drops a metaphor, it's going to take me, like, 3 listens to even get
it,
you know?
Yeah, just to get it, you know? That's where the rap battle game is.
But it's going to be, I mean, if I had to compare the two, I mean, I'm going with Luda before I go with Kendrick. Even though writing, I think Kendrick is more in depth. He does do, you know, more in depth things. But Luda, you get the bars immediately. It is right in your face. Yeah. And it's like, boom, I got that punchline. It was punchline. It's like Fab punchlines. Like, you don't got to be a scientist to fucking dissect that shit. Yeah. It's a punch, and that's right in your face. Hey, Fab would drop bars. Fabulous, mom. You know what I'm saying? It's like, I kind of equate that. It's more rap than hip hop, but it's still hip hop because they rap better than a lot of motherfuckers, you know?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
I got this good analogy for that that actually I put to a lot of rock music too, but it totally makes sense with this. And it's like the way that Kendrick Lamar is doing his own art, it's like carbon. It's something that's internal. It's something that's in everything. You know, it's just like it's the next thing you can have to an energy that's an element, right? Whereas your Ludacris and your guys that are just putting out, you know, just muscle, that's like, it's like oxygen, you know? It's like, you have to have it. It's around you all the time. You breathe it, you think it, you know, like whatever, it's in you, it makes you dizzy, you know? So, and I think both are equally vicious, you know, and awesome, you know? Yeah, it's just, yeah. I think really for me, it kind of depends on the mood. Like if I'm feeling like I want to push out, I'll probably put out some, you know, some real heavy bar stuff. But if I'm like, if I need to think, then I'll go internal, go to carbon, you know? Sorry to get too hippie on y'all. Sorry about that. Yeah. Sorry.
You good, bro. I pulled a
lager out, the horseshoe lager, the premium. So I'm doing that one next. Dude, Tez, there was one more Waradaka at the store and I didn't get it. Cause I was thinking of you, bro. And it was a marshmallow stout.
Oh.
And I couldn't do it, bro. Right. Cause I know you're iffy on the stout, dude.
Let me get that that nene off of there.
The nene?
Yeah.
Whip that motherfucker.
Oh, whip and nene. You know, boy he about to do life.
Mm-hmm.
You know that?
What?
Oh yeah. Hey, yeah. He was crazy. What did he kill the cousin
His cousin.
His cousin, yo.
Jesus.
Man. I said, boy, you whipping nene. How you go from whipping nene to a murderer?
Yeah, you supposed to be silent. Silent.
Right, you know what I'm like,
chill your ass out, motherfucker.
Yeah, Silent toe. You just straight killed your cousin.
Right? That's crazy.
Cousin.
Yeah.
Man,
yeah.
He's gonna get a Netflix special.
So now, from now.
Or Lifetime's like,
yeah.
Nah,
oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They can whip a nene on anything and he not gonna see nothing from it.
You think so?
He forfeited his right. Once you go to prison, he ain't getting nothing off of that.
Yeah, he getting some money. They can't take it from him.
Yeah.
They ain't gonna be able to take, I mean, as long as his lawyers is straight, I mean, that money is good. That's his money. They he's still gonna get the royalties off of that. Off of that song. I mean, and anything else he did. That's just how they ain't gonna be able to take it from him.
Did he do anything else?
I mean, probably not, unless he in prison. You know what I'm saying? He need Master P if he gonna do that, you know? Like somebody slip some you're gonna need to slip to some shit and get him recording in the cell and shit. Dude, I don't know. I don't know if this producer's doing all that.
He's gonna do a whole album on a phone.
Dude, he don't got P.
This is hip hop, the man. Like this is hip hop and rap and stuff. Like it was like what about Snoop, man? Snoop did murder. Like he had a
Snoop
single.
Didn't murder. Snoop didn't murder
innocent.
Anybody.
Hey, Snoop innocent.
Yeah.
His man, his homie.
Hey, I don't know what happened, but I know Snoop innocent. Yo, I seen the trial. Yo, he walked away.
And honestly, his homie did what he was supposed to do.
That's all I knew.
His homie did what he was supposed to do, man. Like,
yeah.
His homie had his man's back.
All right.
That's what he was supposed to do.
All I know is the hardest show on ABC is Martha Stewart and Snoop. It might not even be ABC, but that's a hard-ass motherfucking show.
Dude, all right, VH1, one of the two.
Snoop is a national treasure, bro.
Yeah.
Rest in peace to Betty White. You know, rest in peace to Betty White and stuff, but Snoop is definitely a national treasure for us, man. Like, I love some
Golden
Snoop,
Girls.
It's going to hurt when Snoop go.
Nah, Snoop ain't going.
No way, man.
Wow.
No way, man. Yeah, he's good. Snoop's all right.
Yeah, hey,
He got the fountain of youth.
Hey, Snoop always got greens, so you know what I'm saying? Like,
man got his own green.
Hey, consume your greens.
Yeah,
and,
man got his own
green. He consume a lot of greens, so Snoop gonna be all right.
Dude, he's a football coach for a little league team,
you
right?
You see their truck? Yeah, and that all blacked out.
Yeah, he bought that joint.
Crazy,
He got Martha Stewart on lock. You know, they're doing stuff together all the time. He's probably got book deals. He probably has a podcast. I should look up a Snoop podcast because I bet you he's got one. You know, if not, Snoop.
Hey,
come on, man.
Hey, Snoop, everywhere.
Hurry up, man.
Snoop,
you know,
everywhere.
Yeah,
he is. He needs to be on this joint.
All right, look, Buck, I got a couple questions for you too, man. That I made in our notes.
All right, let's go.
I did see one where you asked favorite Springbrook teacher, right?
Favorite Springbrook teacher. I think I know this one because it was
he
in
took
a song.
It back. He took it back.
I would have to go with Allison Sereno. Miss Sereno, I love you. Yeah, hey, Miss Sereno is my favorite teacher.
Yeah,
like,
man, dude, I had Sereno for like half a year, but I do remember that I would. Like escape to her classroom. Like, even if I didn't have her class, like, I'd go up there and hang out and, like, say what's up after school, like, with some other people, you know? She was that kind of teacher.
Hey, Miss Serena, I love Miss Serena, yeah. She had a way of, you know, getting a lot out of me and embarrassing me at the same time, you know? And she was like, you know, she was real good.
She became a principal, no? Or vice principal.
At Blake, yeah, something, for a little right? while, yeah. I think so. I don't know.
I don't know what happened since, yeah. I'm not sure.
Yeah, I don't know. But, dude, Miss Serena, one time I remember it was like we were doing some project. I think it was like on apartheid or something like that and whatever. I wrote something for it, and it had to include a bunch of different things, and so I wrote a rap for this job. I was like, well, you know, mine gonna be different, I don't care, but it did everything it was supposed to do. Like, you know, we had objectives and things it had to cover, and I made sure it did all of that. And once I did it, then she was like, oh, well, you're gonna come to all these classes that we're doing, and you're gonna do it in front. I'm like, really? And she made me come to like three other classes.
Yeah,
that I didn't do it.
Give me a shot, yeah, man. You know, that's
was,
what's up, dude.
It was cool, yeah. Yeah, I love Miss Serena. Yeah.
Yeah, man. Yeah, I remember. Dude, I remember her classroom was a good place, man.
Good old Springbrook. Did it get redone? All the other schools in Montgomery County did.
Another kind of a Springbrook question. Whatever. You have met and shook hands with Bill Clinton.
Yes, I did.
Yeah. Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I met Bill, yo, shook his hand, yo, we got pictures. I'm like, yeah, this is me and my man, Bill.
Bill.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. Bill, I need details.
Bill Clinton. When, where, how,
okay, all
okay.
that.
All right, here all we that. Go. Background story, right? So while Bill Clinton was president of the United States, he took a trip to Springbrook High School.
Mm-hmm.
And we had an assembly for Bill Clinton, right? So the whole school packed into the bleachers.
Crazy.
Bill comes in and like does his thing, and he shook everyone's hand at school probably that day, you know. But I remember seeing on like the school paper, the cover of the school paper,
and it was Bakari.
Bakari and Bill Clinton shaking hands, dude.
Like, yes, son. That's me right there, yeah, dude. That's me.
And I'll never forget the picture, Bakari. I'll never forget it, bro.
God,
I'll never forget it, man. Like, I was like, dang, man. Like, I was thinking to myself, I was like, dude, like, that's one of the hardest dudes I know. You know? And he is shaking hands with the president on the cover of the paper, you know?
Yeah, yeah, it was, I was president of Brothers at that time, and, you know, we were doing a lot of work in the community and things like that, and tutoring some of the youth who were having, you know, issues, or, you know, maybe they needed some help and things like that. But anyways, through that organization, Hudson, shout out to Brothers Organization. Hudson was up. That's my man. But through that, we got to be on the first row and right next to Mr. Durso, of course, you know. I don't really want that. But anyhow, he walks in and, you know, shaking hands. And
so whatever. Cool, man.
It was cool. It was, so nice. Cool. It was nice.
All right, cool. What else
Yo,
I got on
Mr.
my list?
Mr. Durso was one of my aunts. Great aunt. Principal. Great aunt, bro.
Great
aunt. She was...
probably not principal, man. Like,
no, he was her principal. Like,
he's
I saw
not that
the,
old, right?
I saw the...
Durso's like, what, 70 something
man,
now?
Man, I'm Brenda. Gotta be. She's in her 60s.
Dude, as hard as Durso was, I would vote for Durso. Like, if he ran for, like,
something.
Office, I'd vote for him.
And he doing something on the board or something?
Hey, as long
he
as
was.
I ain't gotta be in school.
Still giving you the look. Still cutting that hallway look.
As like long you, as I ain't got to be in there, yeah,
no,
yeah.
Durso, man.
You guys remember the swagger, right? You remember the walk, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like he had that step.
They
you
said
know?
They said
he
what
vicious,
somebody
man.
Yeah, no, nah, I think that was like a limp from something else.
Yeah,
yeah. Was like,
yeah, but it made it cooler though. Yeah, everyone said, oh, he got stabbed. Or oh, he got thrown out a window.
Somebody, yeah, that's what I heard. Yeah. I heard somebody they threw him out of a window or something at Kennedy or something.
I don't know.
It was a school. I thought it was a school in DC.
Was
it? I don't know. But yeah. I think it was a school in DC. He got, you know, he got a little aggressive and somebody
right,
got
well,
aggressive
yeah, he could have been
and,
he could have been stabbed and thrown out the window then.
But that's what made the swagger even that much more cool. He earned that swagger.
He
dude.
Came back.
Yeah, man.
He was the shocker. He was walking. And now he walked with the
Durso,
rules.
Man.
All right.
Michael Durso. I know he's still doing something. I'm not sure what it is.
He was in the Board of Education for a long time. I don't know
that's
if he's
what
still
I thought.
Like
that's what I thought.
He went up.
Okay.
Okay. All right. I have to at least, we at least have to give a shout out. You don't have to get too deep into it if you don't want to, Bakari. But right. Party House, bro. Uh-huh.
Which one?
The first one.
Blackburn.
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Blackburn.
Yeah. Yeah. The joint on the 5 acres in the woods.
Yeah, man. The one in the woods, man.
Before y'all lived there, you lived at the joint over there off of Fairland. Is it Fairland?
In Burnsville.
That's the one you're thinking about.
No, not Burnsville.
You're talking about the joint off Randolph.
Yeah.
No, that was after Blackburn.
Yeah.
Blackburn was.
Yeah. That was after Blackburn.
Dude, that house was crazy. Yeah, dude.
Blackburn was nuts.
Yeah, man. I was only there a couple times, man, for a couple parties back in the day. I'd pop in usually with Jesse. I remember when Jesse got his car stuck in the backyard because we thought it'd be so cool to put his car in the backyard, and then he got stuck because it rained or something.
Hey, dude. That muscle rear-wheel drive does not in those conditions.
We all got so muddy trying to push that car out of the backyard, bro. But, man, yeah, the houses you had, those it was like group houses for misfits, bro. Like it was
you had to I think I attended almost every party, but I left right before like you knew situations was just pretty hairy. You just, you know what I'm saying? The hair on the back of your neck stood up and was like, oh,
hey, shit was always happening. You had to be on point.
Yo, there's so many times where people that hung out all night, I saw them the next day or something. They was like, yo, so-and-so got his ass whooped last night. I was like, yo, that's why I left. That's why I left. My spidey senses started tingling. I had to go, bro. I had to go.
Hey, shit was always happening.
It was, listen, man, that's why I am the way I am.
Motherfuckers are getting shot.
Hey, man,
crazy. Well, it was just a finger, man. It was just
that was a bad night, you know what I'm saying?
That was a rough night,
R.I.P. Ben's finger, you know what I'm saying?
But
I remember that, yeah. And that was one of the ones where I left right before it got hairy.
Well, here's the thing, though. Because, all right, me and Tez, we had, like, a band house, you know, but it wasn't a rager. It was a condo, you know?
We weren't even close to that.
I mean, we would have girls over and stuff. We would party and stuff back in the day, and we tried, you know, but it was mild compared to what you had.
We were tea drinkers compared to what they had going on. When somebody gets shot at a party, your party, bro, you ain't got nothing going on.
That was the after party. We played a show that night,
Well, all right.
Somebody threw up at our house. That was as bad as it got.
How somebody get shot at the motherfucking after party, yo? We supposed to be chilling right now.
Somebody called a girlfriend that they weren't supposed to call, that's as bad as it got at our house.
It's terrible. All
right,
somebody got shot at the crib,
but,
bro.
But the real question is, like, that was kind of your, that was your spot, man. Like, you were kind of like, not the leader, I don't know if I say leader, but like, your name was on the bills or whatever, you know what I mean?
I just got blamed for everything.
Yeah, maybe, yeah. But what was it like?
I shot at Bucks, I was like, oh, damn, yeah, fuck, yeah. That's all you heard, yeah. I was like, oh, shit. Yeah. It was all me. I was like, what? I wasn't even involved, yo. I was there.
Who name was on the lease?
But
that's what matters.
But dude, but my question is like, how was it living there? You know, like I never lived there. I just went there for some parties and stuff. But like, you lived in it, man. Like,
I mean, I love it. I mean, I love that shit. I mean, I like being around people until I don't. You know, and when I don't want to be around people, I just, you know, I'm my way of blocking everything out. But other than that, I mean, I like being around people. Especially if they're my people, you know, if it's my group and I create it, usually surround myself with the people that I like being around. You know, it's, I guess when it starts getting too big, then it's like, you know, the people you like being around start bringing the people they like being around. And those people start bringing the people that they like bringing around.
And then automatically it's like you click with them.
So then that's when it start getting, you know, crazy. But other than that, I mean, I love it. I like the energy.
Man, look,
put me in any situation. I'm good.
Since I've known you, bro, you have been, if I could associate you with any other thing on this earth, it would be a magnet, because you have this magnetism about you, man, that it's unavoidable. You can't stop. Well, I mean, I guess you can reverse polarity and stuff, but that's getting a little too deep on y'all. You know what I mean? But like, you know, like Bakari's always been that guy that like people just are kind of drawn into it, and it just is its own living thing, man. And there's not anything that's taught or practiced. It's just who you are. You know, it's just what I've always known of you, man. From the neighborhood up. You know, so that's what's up. So I got one more question for you, and it's
side story.
Tez has something.
He's here.
Go, dude, go.
Not too many people know this, but me and this man almost threw hands at Springbrook.
Y'all almost fought?
Yeah.
That's like King Kong versus Godzilla, man. That's like a monster movie fight right
there. It was like my third or fourth week at Springbrook. Y'all know, I'm on the Springbrook for like 6 months.
At the end, senior year. Yeah. Halfway through senior year, Tez shows up. And
what was that girl's name?
I don't even know.
Caitlin something.
Was I dating her? No, I wasn't dating her.
Miller?
I don't know.
Blonde hair.
Yeah. I mean,
and you was talking to her in the hallway at school.
I don't know about dating her.
I was cool with her. You know what I'm saying? I ain't never tried nothing like that with her. But he was talking to her downstairs in the hallway. So we was getting ready to leave out. I was leaving out to school, and I walked up to her behind her and gave her like a nudge like that on the back of the head. You know, I'm just playing with her. He ain't like it.
Oh no.
So the next day,
Buck Nasty. The
next day at school, I was standing in the doorway in my science class, and Buck came up to me and got in my shit, bro. Got in my shit and was like, "Yo, I ain't like the way you push my girl."
Yeah.
So my reaction was like, "Who the fuck is your girl? Like, what you mean I pushed your girl? Who was your girl?" Like, I'm looking at him like, "I'm serious." Like, who is your girl, dog? Like, who is your girl?
Welcome to Springbrook, chump.
I'm confused. Right. I'm confused. I was like,
"You ain't check in, motherfucker. You ain't check in."
All right. So what happened? So how'd it get squashed? Or
the bell rang. The bell rang. That's what happened.
Man,
the bell rang. He went to class and I went to class. But that man came by. Like, he was straight up like, "Yo, I ain't like how you pushed my girl." And my face, I was like, "Nigga, who's your girl?" Like, my voice went up and everything. Like, Who's your girl? Like, you gonna try me because I'm 3 weeks in? Yeah. That's what we doing, bro.
Look, man, I love you guys. I appreciate you guys and stuff. But
This is my man 100 grand, man.
But just for the record, if y'all are going to tell this story in the future, you might want to change the bell ringing part at the end, because that is the softest reason for not fighting dude.
Have you been to ISS at Springbrook?
Yeah, how many times was Zach and motherfucking Slater about to fight? Yeah,
you know, but they never did. Right. That's what it was.
All right, I'll give y'all a say by the bell.
So you saying we was the black AC and Zach at the school?
Kelly Kapowski was mine, motherfucker.
It could at least have been like, you know, you guys, it's all right.
It's all right.
Cause I'm saved by the bell.
But I was new. And Durso already to let me in the Springbrook, he didn't want to. He definitely didn't want to. And he made that very clear to me. So my lines was real thin when I got to Springbrook.
No drama.
No drama, bro. He accused me of starting a fight that I had nothing to do with. I wasn't even
part
of the fight.
One time Durso suspended me for no reason at all.
Yeah, he was wild.
No.
Durso was wild.
Literally for no reason at all. It was a snow day, right? But we know it was a fucking snow day. So we on the road going there, and we pull right down Valley Brook. We ain't pulled in yet. But then right then, before we pulled in, like, because there's It was a late snow day, so people already showing up, buses come. Anyways, we get the alert on Montgomery County's closed, right? So we just turn. I'm like, instead of making that left, we just fucking went rolled out. You know what I'm saying? Hey, the next day, fucking brought me into the office. I was high, you know what I'm saying? I was smoking, whatever. Anyway, it was like, "Oh, you smell like what?" I was like, "I don't smell like nothing. I don't know what you're talking about." Yeah, we just hotboxing shit. You know, I was like, "I don't know what you're talking about." But anyways, yeah. So then he was like, "Oh, yesterday," he was like, "you left school property." He was like, "So you're getting suspended." I was like, "What are you talking about? I never left school property." He was like, "Yes, you did. You left the school you know, the security guard saw you come and you drove into the school." And I was like, "The security guard saw me pull down Valley Brook. I never went on school property." And then he was like, "Oh, well, then you had other students in the car with you." I had, like, you know, my boys, we was like coming for, you know, we was coming.
Oh, yeah.
He's
like, "Well, you took other students off of school property." I was like, "How did I take them off school property if I never went on school property? Hey, we never was on school property." I was like, "How could I take them off of it if I was never there, right? We coming from the hood." You know what I'm saying? "We going to the..." It never happened. He was like, "Oh, well, then I'm spending you because I can. I was like,
yo, he was
straight
he
up.
Power tripped. To his, he power tripped, bro.
To, because I can.
He power tripped.
Straight up. Oh, yeah. I was like, yeah. Some bullshit.
I experienced it. Bro, bullshit. He literally said when he, it was a basketball game against Quince Orchard. I'll never forget it. Springbrook and Quince Orchard. And I think Springbrook, like, it came close. So the tensions, because the game was close, sure. the tensions was close. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So I think some Bamas might have went to the parking lot and got busy.
Right.
I had nothing to do with it. I wasn't even out there. And he cornered me outside and was like, after everything I did for you, do you? I was like, wait, what? I let you in my school when nobody else would. And I was like,
distraught ex-girlfriend and shit.
You know what I'm saying? I was like, what are you, what? So you just come here, you start fights, huh? I was like, wait, what? What are you talking about?
Look, man.
I'm with my church group. I wasn't with no fight. Yeah. What are like you talking about?
We were just singing Wade in the Water, you know
what,
I mean?
What are you talking about?
Dude, I'll shout out Mr. Durso, man. Like, I know it was
he
tough.
Can have it.
I know it was tough, you know. I know we had a lot of stuff going on. I know you were a very busy man at the time, and I'm sorry that we gave you the headaches that we did, you know.
He did make Springbrook a better school.
Yeah, he did.
He did take in people when nobody else was.
But he did, you know.
You know what I'm saying?
Dude, for the record, my mom loves Durso. My mom...
But she worked under him for a minute, right?
She worked after I graduated. She got a job at Springbrook after I left, yeah, to not be stuck in that big massive shadow, you know. But it's probably a smart move, you know. So
that would have been bad.
Yeah,
bro.
It would have been bad news. Yeah,
you get suspended from work and shit.
Yeah, like she was subbing there my senior year, and I used to cut class to go visit her class. She was teaching it, and she's like, dude. Like, go to class, I'm your mom, you know, whatever. And I was like, yeah, but I want to say hi, you know, like, whatever. I don't know. She still talks about Durso, man. Like, she loves that dude. So I know he did some good for the community and stuff, man.
He did.
So I'll give him some shout out.
I did see something. He was awarded something throughout the county not too long ago in Montgomery County, right?
Best swagger.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That part too. Yeah. He was a good dude, man.
Best pimp walk.
He had all the best intentions for his students, man. So I appreciate that, man.
Cool. All right, Bakari, I got one more question for you, man, and then this can kind of wrap it up. We've learned in this episode that you've been, you've been doing music for a very long time. You did rock music. You've done, you know, your own. Now you got your own label that you're setting up. You're taking it all on yourself. Even your daughter's doing music, man. So obviously this is a huge element of your life. So where you are now, as opposed to all these old stories we're telling, my last question is, why music now? What's the difference?
I mean, I just love music. I don't know. There's nothing like it. It's what I've always wanted to do since I was a little kid. And it's always, no matter how far or how much I try to get away from it, it always comes back. You know, it's always come back to the music. Like, I had put it down for a while. And then, you know, my daughter, I think she was what, like, I don't know, like 5 years old, maybe. And then she heard one of my old New Bandera songs, right? And then she was like, it's like, this is you, Dad? Right? And I'm like, yeah. It's like, really? It's like, yeah. It's like, you make music? And I was like, yeah, I mean, I make music. She was like, I want to make music. And I was like, really? She was like, yeah, can you help me make a song? And I was like, all right. And that's when I got into it, because, like, you know, I didn't know what the hell I was doing, so yeah, I was trying to put together a studio to help her make a song, like, you know. And
that's the best answer, like, ever, bro. Yeah, that's the best answer ever, dude. You
back
know?
In, so
dude, me and Tez, I think we can agree with you on that, as far as we hung it up for a long time too, and we're only doing it still because it's just what we feel like doing,
right?
Yeah, you know? ain't really for no purpose besides just to get the beast out, maybe, you know.
Mm-hmm. Make you feel good.
Yeah, but I swear to God, when we get off of this podcast and I'm driving home, dude, I'm totally looking up Bakari's daughter and checking out the flows on iTunes.
Hey, her name's DaLady. She everywhere.
DaLady.
DaLady. You can also go to illicitarts.com, you know, and you can check out the featured artist, Dasher Crane. That's my name. My daughter's DaLady. You have all the links, whatever you listen to your music on, it'll have the links on there, and you can go check us out.
And we will have the links to it. We'll put it up through the group.
Yeah.
So if you come to the group
We're about to push it, dude. Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
For sure.
So, any artists come on, that's how we're going to do it. We're going to get them set up with us. So you come on, check the page out, check the IG out. You can go to that artist, whatever their music, their page, whatever they got going on.
Dude, if it's not like that, I'm leaving.
So,
like,
right?
Yeah.
Like, what are we doing this for?
That's the way. Yeah.
She got a new track coming out. It's called Gotcha Girl. So it should be out in the next week.
Okay.
And I'm dropping a new track. It's called Bay Card. It'll be out in the next week. So, but yeah, check this out.
All right, cool.
The homie Buck, Dash the Cream.
Bring the ladder. Yo. Yeah, bring the applause.
Yeah,
bring
man.
The applause.
We appreciate you coming through, big homie.
Oh, yeah, yeah, man. Yeah. Very
all
cool,
love.
Dude.
All love,
make
man.
Make sure y'all
good
bring
to see
me
you,
back,
man.
You know, I'll come through.
Oh, we got you. We got you, bro. Say less. Say less. You ain't here.
Have fun.
You ain't here, man.
And, dude, also, we got to rip a beer. The Warren Docker.
Warren Docker.
I really enjoyed this, the extra pale lager. The second one I had, that one was, I thought that one was great.
I like this.
I didn't get the OE flavor neither, Tez.
No, I'm drinking. What am I drinking? I'm drinking the Nene, bro. The Nene.
You like the Nene?
I like that. Yeah.
I like the Nene. That was good.
Cool.
I liked it better than the
off the rip.
Hey.
Oh, God.
You caught it. You caught it. Yeah, you caught it.
Y'all can only imagine the dance moves. Y'all can only imagine. All right.
Hey, we appreciate y'all. We love y'all, man. Yeah. Thank y'all for signing in.
Thank you so much. We'll see you next time,
please. Big homie.
Peace.
We out of here.
All right.
If you want to find out more about Dastard Crane, all of his links can be found in the show notes, so make sure you go give him a listen, a follow, all of that good stuff, and if you want to reach out to us, all of our social media will be linked there too, so feel free to hit us up with any suggestions for things you'd like to hear on the show. And with all of that out of the way, thanks for listening, and we'll see you in the next episode.